Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, the podcast where your favorite Broadway stars share their love of the Disney theme parks. If this is your first time listening, thanks for tuning in and hope you enjoy exploring all of the many other episodes. And if this is your 52nd time listening, welcome back. Please take a moment to look around your space. Do you see any super cool E-Ticket to Broadway merchandise? No? Well, I encourage you to head to our website, www.eticketpodcast.com, to check out our official shop. There are so many incredible designs on so many products, it's sure to bring magic to your life. It's perfect for a day at the parks or a day at rehearsal. Want to see photos of our Broadway guests at the Disney parks? Play games and answer trivia? I'm sure you're nodding your heads, so be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram, at eTicket to Broadway. And while you're online, be sure to leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I'd greatly appreciate it, and it'll help bring more eTicket magic to the world. This episode's guest has been seen on Broadway in Mamma Mia, off-Broadway in Carrie, and on the national tour of Spring Awakening. But perhaps she is best known for originating the role of Anya in the Broadway musical Anastasia. Please welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, Christy Altomar. Christy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. You're the first guest to send me a copy of an official Walt Disney World photo log book documenting a childhood trip to the parks. So I'm guessing you are a fan of going to the Disney theme parks. Is that true?
Yes, I've been so many times, I can't even tell you how many times I've been.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that trip. You shared in the wonderful book, you traveled from Philadelphia by plane. It took you 2.5 hours. There's a great photo of you on the plane. You stayed at the Holiday Inn. And that the first day you were so excited that you, quote, danced the hip hop and couldn't wait to see Mickey and Minnie. Can you please elaborate upon those feelings you felt at your first day at the Magic Kingdom?
I mean, I'm a little bit older now, so my memory is not the best, but I can tell you that there is nothing more exciting to a little kid than knowing that they are going to get to go to Disney World. My parents were really amazing. They always took us down there. We even actually got to do, within the first 6 months that it opened, the Disney Cruise Line. So we've done a lot of Disney. We did, obviously, the Magic Kingdom and MGM and Epcot and all of that. But the very first time, I don't think we got to everything. It was just mostly indoctrination of the love of Disney when we first got there. So I went with my sister, and I think it might have been my first plane ride. Like, looking back at those images, that might have been the first time I ever was on a plane. And it was me, my sister, and also my little cousin, John. So if you see a little boy in some of those photos, it's my little cousin, John. He was a little young probably to remember much about it, but I remember just being enthralled and excited and jumping up and down. And I'm guessing dancing the hip hop is something that my parents like to encourage imagination and silliness. So Carrie and I were oftentimes dancing around to Madonna songs and Michael Jackson songs, you know, the things that were on the radio at that time, and just making crazy moves. And my parents would encourage that sort of thing. So that's probably what dancing the hip hop meant.
I mean, it's great. And you couldn't wait to see Mickey and Minnie. You did share in the book a lot of wonderful highlights, including that you loved seeing Mickey's house the best. What was that like to meet Mickey Mouse?
It's very cool. Like, I remember the house being very special, right? Because you go to his house. And I remember my mom talking about, we're going to go see Mickey. We're going to go to Mickey's house. And so it was like this excitement had been revving up from the start. So I do remember that being really exciting. And we also had, I didn't send you pictures of it, but we had the autograph books where we got a ton of autographs.
There is one autograph, and it says it was the first character you met, and there is a signature from, do you know who that is?
Goofy!
Yes, it was Goofy. I mean, when you meet Goofy as a kid, I mean, that's a whole lot of dog. You know, Goofy's tall, he's excited. It can be overwhelming.
It's a big deal. Goofy is I remember always, I know kids sometimes get scared, but I remember always being very excited to meet all of the characters. And very into just the whole pomp and circumstance of like waiting in line, and then you're going to get your moment with them. And then when you get to see them, they're always so nice, and sometimes they give you a hug and you have a moment. So unfortunately, they don't talk, but it's very cool to have their presence there, and then to sign your autograph book was very cool, I remember.
I mean, but Chrissy, what you're explaining is like a stage door to Broadway show. You know, it's very similar.
Oh my gosh. It's just like a stage door.
I know. It's like you were Goofy at the stage door of Anastasia, you know?
You know, when I was 16 years old, I hate to get away from Disney even the tiniest bit.
It's okay.
This is the tiniest walk away from Disney. But when I was 16 years old, my first interaction, I guess, with being at a stage door, like, other than being like the person going to the stage door to get an autograph, was when I was in, I worked at a place called Sesame Place, because I'm from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is where Sesame Place exists, which is a theme park for the Sesame Street characters. And I got to, we'll say, walk around Ernie and Elmo and Cookie Monster and all of the, you know, I'd walk around with them, and they would form a line, and I would help the characters sign the autographs and everything. And then I got to dance in the parade. So in a way, even though I never got to work at Disney, I sort of like got to feel, you know, later on in life, that excitement of like being on the other side of people like lining up and coming up and getting a moment with the characters and stuff like that.
That's sweet. I love that. Going back to this trip, I also love that you talked about, there was a prompt that said it looked like a main street of 100 years ago because, and you filled in the blank, quote, the buildings looked old. I love how to the point you were. Like, they look old, so it must be.
That's how it felt, though. I mean, it's very cool. Have you seen it, that whole area?
Main Street?
Yeah.
Well, of course.
How many times have you been to Disney?
You know, I've only been to Walt Disney World twice.
Oh!
But Disneyland, many, many times.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, I've been to Disneyland twice, and I've been to Disney World many times because obviously I'm from the East Coast. So were you from the West Coast?
Kind of. I was born in Michigan, but my dad is from LA and we have a lot of family in LA. Have you been to the international parks?
What is that? What is an international park? So, oh, you mean somewhere in another country?
Correct. Like
no!
Paris. No! Haven't.
No! I would love to do that. Have you ever been to an international park?
I've been to Tokyo and I've been to Paris many times because my mom is actually from Paris originally. So I've been to Paris many times, which is beautiful.
Oh, that's really cool.
I want to check because I just loved the energy from this book that you shared. And I just want to see, is this still true? You know, they ask you just to rate some of the attractions, like 1 to 4 stars. And you gave the Enchanted Tiki Room, Pirates, Swiss Family Robinson, and the Jungle Cruise all 4 stars.
4 stars.
Which meant it was awesome. Do you still love those attractions?
Yes. I would say my favorite was probably, because it's the one I remember the most, was the Swiss Family Robinson, which I don't even know if it exists anymore. But the thing about being a kid at a theme park that I really loved about that time when I was younger, and I don't know if theme parks really do this as much anymore, probably for like lawsuit reasons, but I loved anything that was like super interactive. And with the Swiss Family Robinson, you were like in this big treehouse sort of thing where you're running around, you know, on these like high bridges that sort of like dip down. And so that, you know, A Bug's Life, where like you were in a situation where it's basically like you're a bug and they made this whole interactive world where you're running around, you know, in like the KV areas of being a spider or a, you know, or an ant or something. So that sort of stuff was always my favorite. And even to add to that, my mom actually reminded me, because I called her and I was like, can you remind me how many times have we been? She's like, at least like 5 or 6, like, because we've been so many times. I was like, so yeah. Okay. So I'm not wrong in that I remember going back many times. So, but she said one thing that she remembered that we loved a lot was, I think they had it in Epcot where there were these, it was the first time, because now they have this everywhere, but I guess it was the first time we had ever seen it, where water kind of comes up from the ground at like different times. And so I guess we like ran through the water and we just thought that it was the coolest thing ever. But I guess that was like an attraction that was kind of new at Epcot at the time.
But for a child, there's so much, even though it might feel interactive to us as kids, you know, you might look like, oh, you know, it's actually predetermined, or this bridge that feels like it's swinging is actually super supported. But
right.
It's magic. It truly feels like magic.
It feels like magic. And, you know, it is super, I mean, it was super safe. We didn't feel like it wasn't. I'm just saying, like, nowadays, as time has passed, for example, I was talking to my boyfriend. We both grew up in Bucks County and we both went to Sesame Place all the time. And when Sesame Place first opened, their big thing was interactive games. Like, everything in the entire park was super interactive. And then over time, they got rid of those interactive things. And I think that they replaced them with a lot more shows, a lot more rides, you know, things like that, that were a little bit more bigger, you know, than just like a little computer lab or something like that, or like a lighting thing where you know, certain things like that. So I think that, you know, as I've been to every theme park, it doesn't even have to be just Disney, you see a little bit more of that where like you have these spectacles instead of like little interactive things. But yeah, I never didn't feel safe on any of the things that were interactive. Like A Bug's Life was really cool though, because you literally felt like you were a bug. Like it was very awesome.
I know, and that's, it's magic.
It's magic.
You also mentioned that the Haunted Mansion was scariest when the ghost sat next to you. Have you recovered from that fear, or is it still a little spooky?
Yes. No, I remember loving the Haunted Mansion, but it was definitely scary. I do remember being scared to go on the Haunted Mansion, but as many years have passed, when I went on tour with Spring Awakening, I went to Disneyland and we went on the haunted house ride, but it was during like Thanksgiving time. So they had it all Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes. Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is one of the coolest rides because I'm a huge fan of the Nightmare Before Christmas. So I just remember just being enthralled that not only did they decorate the whole outside with Nightmare Before Christmas, but when you go inside, it's all Nightmare Before Christmas theme. Like they didn't just keep it Haunted Mansion. It was all Nightmare Before Christmas, every little element. And it was so exciting. That was really cool. I definitely got through the Haunted Mansion as a kid, but I thrived at it as I got older. I like loved it getting older.
I mean, that's a really successful overlay. It's really beautiful. I actually just got to do that like last month or a couple months ago.
So you got to see it. I need to go back.
You got to go back.
I know.
You also loved, I mean, okay, the scale was 1 to 4, but you gave these two attractions 9 stars, and that was Peter Pan's Flight and It's a Small World.
Yes. That one, if you were to ask me to this day, what is my favorite ride? It's the Peter Pan. Because you feel like you're flying. And who doesn't want to feel like they're flying?
Correct.
I remember like recently, like the last time I went back, I did the Peter Pan ride and I still was just as enchanted as I was as a kid.
if you have time, check out the Shanghai Disneyland version of Peter Pan's Flight. And it is incredible. Because the one at Disneyland is the original. It's so short. You know, it's very beautiful.
Don't hate on it. It's my favorite ride.
Oh, no, listen, I love it. I love it because it's an original attraction. I don't want it to change. But from 1955 to when Shanghai Disneyland opened, technology has advanced, storytelling has advanced. And so it's just a totally different fret. But please do not touch that Peter Pan's Flight at Disneyland.
Yeah, Peter Pan's Flight at Disneyland is amazing. Amazing. Always a long line, though.
Always
like one of the longest lines. That one, and It's a Small World, like some of the longest lines, but so exciting.
Have you been on It's a Small World when it's decorated for the holidays?
No.
Christy, you got to go to Disneyland. We got to get you there.
Are you kidding me? They decorate it for the holidays?
Yep.
Oh, that one's my mom's favorite ride. It's a small world after all. It's a small world Which wasn't It's a Small World like part of the World's Fair originally?
Yes, it was, Christy, 1964 World's Fair.
Because I went to the World's Fair this year in Dubai.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's right.
I did go. So I was learning a lot of history about all the past World's Fairs.
Christy, we know that you loved going to Walt Disney World as a kid. Were there any Disney movies that you really liked watching?
Is that even like, that shouldn't even be a question for a musical theater person.
Because you're right.
All musical theater people know that like, it's almost like, it's like a stepping stone into getting into musical theater as a kid.
Yep.
Because not everyone goes to Broadway when they're 5 years old. It's not usually even recommended for a really young kid to go see Broadway because you have to be quiet in the theater, you know? So the first even recognition of something that even sounded like a musical was those Disney shows. So growing up, you know, the first big one for us was, for me and my generation, was The Little Mermaid. And then, you know, we got spoiled with Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King and Pocahontas, Mulan, Hercules, like literally all of them. And I was born June 23rd. So my birthday always landed within the weekend or on the day of the brand new Disney movie coming out. So every single time it was my birthday, we would have a Disney birthday where everyone, all of my friends, would go to see the newest Disney movie. And it was just always so exciting because, of course, it came with all this merch. So we would have all the Disney merch afterwards, and it was just, and then you'd learn all the songs. And I would just run around my basement pretending to be all the characters. You can't even pick one. Because all of them are incredible. And I still, you know, watch them to this day. They're just amazing.
Did you have any favorite characters?
Man, that's so hard. How can you pick a favorite?
Well, let me tell you, you do.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, it's funny because some people truly, they love so many. For me, my favorite character has been that way since I was a child and stays to this day. It's Dopey.
Like, really?
But some people like are like, oh, I like them all. So, but for those of us that do have like a very specific one, I think it's pretty easy. But that's not to say that that's the only path forward.
I mean, I guess like I do like the Little Mermaid. I also really like, I just had it. Of course, now I'm forgetting. So I'm probably like, I guess it's the Little Mermaid, if that's like my first initial thought. Oh, and Pocahontas. Like those are like, I guess, the two girls that I was the most connected with in the Disney world. And obviously Anastasia, but that's, 20th century Fox at the time.
But we'll that'll come up.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like Ariel, Pocahontas, I mean, like those characters from the Renaissance. I mean, we talk about this a lot. It hit us at a specific time in our lives where it was like, oh, there was a time that there wasn't a new Disney movie each year.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the classics? Peter Pan, yeah. Snow White.
Oh yeah, Peter Pan, Snow White, Cinderella, yeah, all of those. I've seen them all.
You love it.
They're so, of course, who doesn't love Disney?
Well, hopefully everyone listening to this podcast agrees. There are some people out there, yeah. But this target audience. And again, I love, Chris, that you mentioned the overlap of Broadway and, musical theater with Disney parks. It's so there. I mean, like, it's such a true friendship.
I mean, truly, and growing up, I remember, I mean, it's probably the reason I'm even doing musical theater is because growing up, I'd remember my parents would be like, perform for us. And so me and my sister, we just make up a stage and sing all of the songs from all the Disney shows, which was very normal to us. You know, it's just what you did.
Pretend that you have a photo blog from your most recent trip to the parks. What would you say would be your favorite attraction?
Ooh, for my most recent.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Well, I guess it's the one that I said, which is the haunted house with Nightmare Before Christmas, because I love the Nightmare Before Christmas so much. Just one of my favorites. And I can't believe my boyfriend, we've only been dating like 6 months and he had never seen it. And I was like, are you kidding me? And so we had to, of course, watch it. And I, of course, knew all the songs and was singing them all.
I like to ask this question. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
It's both. It's both. You can watch it both. I mean, for me, it's even after the holidays. Like, I'll just listen to it
all year.
All year long. Especially, I remember my true obsession happened because I'd always liked it growing up, but my sister was truly super scared of it as a kid. So I used to watch it all the time. So my sister eventually took our VHS and threw it away because she was that scared and she just hated that I loved it so much. So I kind of forgot about it over the years. And then when I started doing Spring Awakening, Andy Mantis was in the show with me. I don't know if you know who he is. Well, I'm sure everyone knows who Andy Mantis is. And he reintroduced it to me. And basically the entire tour, it was like my pre-show jam before doing Spring Awakening. Because I would blast like, boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something good? Like literally every day. Which is so random.
That's so good. It's great. I firmly believe it's a Christmas movie, but I also get annoyed because when I go to Disneyland and it's Halloween time, I want to see the Haunted Mansion. I don't want to see the overlay.
You don't want to see Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, I want that to start November 1st.
That actually makes a lot of sense now that you put it that way.
But people love it. You know what, Christy, the next time I go and it's in October, I'll be like, you know what? Christy would love it that it's here, so it's okay.
Because it really is so good. I love that. I hope they take that to Broadway. That needs to go to Broadway. I will be there every night watching the show.
Or what about, who do you want to be in it?
I mean, I would say Sally, I would love to sing those songs more than anything on this planet. But I just feel like in my mind, she's taller and she has red hair. Like in my head, Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Allison Case. Do you know her?
Of course, Allison.
Like, I see Allison Case in my head, which probably isn't right. Like, if you're an actress, you should be saying, oh, me. But no, like, I see Allison Case as that role in my head.
Though, again, if you want a tall redhead, I'm right here.
Oh, my gosh. You too, David. David, yes. Who cares about gender roles? Like, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Gender roles or talent.
No, you have talent. Come on.
I would rather direct. Christy, when Disney purchased 20th Century Fox, Anastasia technically became part of the Disney family. So let's pretend that this Russian princess now has her very own dark ride in Fantasyland, like Peter Pan's Flight or Snow White. What do you think the ride would be like?
Oh, that's so good.
Like, okay, let's start at the beginning. So like you get in a ride vehicle, Peter Pan's Flight, it's like a pirate ship. Yes. What would the ride vehicle look like?
Okay, so the ride vehicle for Anastasia, if we're basing it off of the now Disney movie.
Sure.
It would probably be a train, and the train would be leaving St. Petersburg. So as you're on the train, you're going through St. Petersburg, and you're seeing like the palace, and you're seeing her like walking around singing Once Upon a December and not knowing. And then it goes into like, I Can Learn to Do It Land, where like they're learning all the, she's learning how to become a princess. And then you know, and then you're still on the train and you hit Paris, and Paris is nothing but all these exciting, you know, lights and fireworks and everyone dancing around. And then like at the end, obviously, she's a princess, but she decides to run off with Dimitri, and that's like the end. But it would be so great.
This is a great ride. Would Bartok be part of the ride?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even bring up Bartok. Yes, Bartok would be in my version at like a little character at the front of the train, and he would like talk to you through, like as the ride's going through, he would like give his commentary on like, oh, who's that or something, like it'd be like, oh, they're having fun. Aren't they, master, you know?
Like in the Little Mermaid ride, Scuttle makes appearances kind of throughout, and it could be Bartok in this version.
Yes, he makes little appearances throughout. Because even though he's for Rasputin, I sort of feel like he doesn't really, like, he can be both ways.
He's a good sidekick.
He's a good sidekick.
That sounds great. I think we should make this happen. Though I'm not... Like, maybe, I mean, like, listen, as Disney purchases more IP, like, Star Wars is in the parks, and Avengers and Marvel is in the parks. I don't know. Maybe Anastasia will one day make an appearance.
That would be so incredible. I really hope it happens. I mean, I hope they come out with a live-action version of it, because Anastasia is just, it's so great. It's such a great story. And it's also steeped in a little bit of real-life history. So there's a little bit of both there. Like most Disney movies. Like most Disney movies are either from an old book, like a Hans Christian Andersen book or something, or like some history of something that really happened. So it's great.
It's educational and entertaining.
Yes! Educational! Yes.
Christy, you've now been part of the Disney Princess, the concert across the globe.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite Disney princess? And let's not say Anya's one of those.
Right, right. Well, I guess I would say The Little Mermaid, like I said before. I guess, yeah. She's the Disney princess, so yeah.
She is, yeah. What do you think it is about these songs from the Disney films that are just so magical?
Well, Alan Menken is really one of the best songwriters of our generation. Him and Stephen Schwartz. Like, you know, I feel like so many of us forget that he wrote Colors of the Wind, which is just one of the most beautiful songs. I mean, the two of them are incredible. Also, Lynn and Stephen, same, right? But as if we're talking strictly Disney songs, Stephen Schwartz's lyrics are just get to the soul and the root of, I mean, they're so transcendent in that. You know, it's like, this is a Disney song, but yet it's teaching us all about humanity and the way we should treat the earth and how we should view the world and view the earth. as if it's not just something to be owned, but something that we coexist with and that we are a part of ourselves. We are stardust, right? So we're all a part of this earth together, and we should treat it good.
Chrissy, if you were to get a job at the parks, what job would you want?
Oh, clearly to be a performer. Come on.
Right. You know, not everyone says that. So are you performing in a parade, in a show?
Well, I don't know actually how it works. So maybe you could help me with that. I don't know exactly how it works, but I would assume if you are an entertainer, you kind of do both, that you can do the parade and you can do a show, but maybe not. And if that's not true, then I would want to be in like a show, like if they had like a Beauty and the Beast show or something like that.
Which they do. Yeah.
Which they do. Okay. Yeah. Which I saw and I was there. Yeah.
Now, same question, but for Anya.
If Anya was going to do something.
Yeah. If she were to get a job at the parks.
I think, oh man. Anya's like so rambunctious. I feel like she would be building the rides.
She could be. Yeah, she could be an Imagineer. Sure.
I like see her like with a construction worker's hat on and like she's not afraid to get dirty, you know? So something like that.
Here's a question. Who would have the most fun at Walt Disney World? Anya, Wendla Bergman, or Sophie Sheridan?
Ooh. I think Sophie. Sophie's a party animal. And I know this is weird, but I feel like Sophie, I feel like every role that I've ever gotten to play in my life is a little bit of, obviously you have to bring a little bit of yourself, but the one that is the most who I am and me in my mind is Sophie. And I live every day with this thought of childlike wonderment where I'm just a kid all the time in my head, even if I'm old. So I feel like Sophie's a little bit like that too, where she's just a little bit of a kid and she would just revel in every little kid thing that there was to do or adult thing to do. Like she would just revel in it.
Chrissy, you also shared some incredible photos of a special thing I think you got to do at Walt Disney World. What was it like to go into Cinderella Castle?
It was unbelievable. So when I was doing Spring Awakening, we got to do a special little talk for a lot of the entertainers at the park. And we were led into the castle and we got to see all of the fun, cool, like things inside the castle, which everything is Cinderella themed. So you see the slipper and you see all of the like there's like a light up jacuzzi and just it was totally surreal. And I will never forget it.
Would you like to spend a night in the castle?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone would say no.
I know. I just to be able to wake up and be like, because in Disneyland, the castle is not as big. And there's actually like a beautiful walkthrough with Sleeping Beauty dioramas, but there's no like suite. But in Florida, you could actually stay there.
You can actually stay there.
Maybe when the tour was ending, they'd been like, where's Christy? And they look like on the bed and there's this lump under the pillow.
Yeah, honestly, if I could have just hidden under the bed, they probably wouldn't have noticed because we went in with a group and I could just stay there all day.
Oh, Phooey, we'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, if this reminds
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for Fast Pass Answers.
Christy, this is Fast Pass Answers. I'll put 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question for you to answer as many of these as possible. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Christy, name any song from The Little Mermaid.
Part of that world, part of your world.
Favorite Disney princess?
We'll say Ariel.
Name any character from Frozen.
Anna.
Favorite snack in the parks?
When I went there, there was a Goofy gummy cheeseburger, and it was all made out of gummies. And I went back later, and they didn't have it, and I was very sad.
True or false, if I can learn to do it, you can learn to do it.
You can learn to do it.
Name any Disney villain.
Maleficent.
Oh, Maleficent. She's a good one.
I like her.
Let's go back. I've never had anyone elaborate on Fast Pass Answers. Let's talk about that Goofy gummy sandwich.
Okay. So I will never forget this, but it's basically, have you ever had those SpongeBob little burgers? Those little like sponge, they're like, it's, if you go into any store, they have them, but it's like SpongeBob is the theme. And then there's these like little trolley burgers. Have you had the trolley burgers? They're like made out of gummy. They're made out of gummies. Anyway, so at the park, this was many years before SpongeBob even existed. And at the park, they had a Goofy themed huge gummy burger. So it's a burger, but it's like pretty decently big, but it was all made out of gummy. And so I my parents were like, you can get whatever you want. And I got that. And I remember slowly eating it because I had never had gummies that big. And it was so exciting to me. And so I ate it and I reveled in everything. And the thing that was different about the Goofy gummy burger is that I think there was like a layer of cheese, which was like a yellow gummy. And I went back to the park and I was always looking for it, but I guess they discontinued them. And it was the most, and if anybody, please comment or say something if you remember this, because I will never forget it. And it was the coolest thing ever.
Put on your thinking ears, it's trivia time. Oh boy.
Christy, after the Disney Renaissance with The Little Mermaid in 1989 and Beauty and the Beast in 1991 that featured the incredible work of Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, Disney decided to go after other New York theater songwriters. According to a New York Times article on March 15th, 1992, to score Song of the Sea, the story of a whale's coming of age, the Disney studio signed which songwriting team, who just had a huge off-Broadway hit in 1990?
And is this a duo that I might know?
You might.
Is it Lynn and Steven?
It is.
Yes! Lynn and Steven!
The movie didn't happen, but they had reached out and signed Lynn and Steve, and it never happened, but it would have been Song of the Sea, about a whale's coming of age.
Their music is, it is Disney, even though it's not. You know what I mean? Like, they need a Disney movie. Like, they need one. Because their songs are so catchy and so universal.
I know. I mean, like, with Seussical and Once on This Island and Schoolhouse Rock. You know,
and Anastasia.
And Anastasia, of course. Yeah, it's just, it's so beautiful. I love it.
So beautiful.
Christy, you famously brought the role of Anya in Anastasia to the Broadway stage, delighting audiences and touching hearts while sharing the beautiful songs by Aaron Zaffirelli, including Once Upon a December, which was one of my favorite songs.
Wow.
In the song, Anya recalls dancing bears, painted wings, horses prancing through a silver storm, which sounds pretty Disney to me.
That last one is actually part of Frozen 2. So in this game, Once Upon a Disney December, I have selected 10 magical Disney events which took place during the month of December. And I need you to help answer some questions regarding these events. I promise these are things your heart used to know, and I will hold you safe and warm if you need any help. Into Once Upon a Disney December?
Yes, I am ready for this.
Here we go. Okay, number one for Once Upon a Disney December. This film was released on December 21st, 1937, and was a huge event. And it starred the OG princess, as well as my favorite character. What film was it?
Snow White.
That's right. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. First full-length animated feature.
It was a big deal. It was a huge deal. Yeah.
Number two, on December 17th, 1973, this classic attraction opened in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom and features a dog holding keys in its mouth.
Was it Honey, We Shrunk the Kids? No. Sorry, I don't know. That's not even Disney. Is it?
It actually was.
Okay.
Right there. But so can you think of a ride? It's classic. And in it, there's a dog with a ring of keys, not Fun Home, but a ring of keys in its mouth.
Yes. And is it new? Is it very new?
Nope. 1973.
1973. A dog with keys in its mouth.
And that dog is outside some cell blocks with some people in it trying to get out. And it's...
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. Tell me.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
I loved that ride.
Yeah.
I actually got stuck in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You are not the only person to get stuck there.
For many hours, like I don't know how many hours, but like we were there forever. And my mom pulled out, because my mom has a bottomless purse. She pulled out a flashlight and turned it on because we were in the dark. And everybody started clapping because they thought it meant we were getting saved, and it didn't. So my mom was like, no, it's just this flashlight.
Oh, gosh. Okay, number three. So Walt Disney's Babes in Toyland was released on December 14th, 1961, and had an all-star cast, including Old Yeller's Tommy Kirk, The Wizard of Oz's Ray Bolger, The Mickey Mouse Club's Annette Funicello, and Edwin, who would soon appear singing I Love to Laugh and Mary Poppins. Edwin had already given voice to which character in Alice in Wonderland?
If I had to guess, I would say the Mad Hatter.
Yes, you're right.
Yay!
Had you seen that Babes in Toyland?
The movie, the Babes in Toyland? I think I may have, but obviously I don't remember. Like, I'm so long ago, but when I was a kid, yeah.
Okay, number four for Once Upon a Disney December. This woman voiced two incredible animated characters in the 1990s, in addition to being a Broadway legend. And on December 13th, 1971, she starred in Disney's Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Who is this magical woman?
I don't even know what Bedknobs and Broomsticks is.
It's a Disney movie. I'm going to give you a hint. When she voiced two characters, one was...
I know, is it Leia Salonga? I know she did two Disney characters.
It's not. This person gave voice to a Disney film where she played a teapot and she was in Anastasia.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy. Oh my God. how dare you? Wait, I know the answer to this. It's like literally on the tip of my tongue.
I'm putting you on the spot.
No.
I can also help you.
No, don't help me, because I'm going to know. I'm going to know in 2 seconds. I'm going to think about it. Oh, my God. Say it.
Angela Lansbury,
yes!
Yes, we love Angela Lansbury.
I love Angela Lansbury. I love her. I think they asked her to do Anastasia on Broadway, and she was like, I think she said no, because she's done so many things at this point. It's like, I really am retiring. I really am.
I got to actually work with her on the Best Man revival, and there was a scene where it took place with a tea set, and in rehearsal we were like that, and she goes, I know my way around a teapot, and it was like one of those moments. Anyway.
Oh, that's so funny. I know my way around a teapot.
Number five, this attraction opened on December 15th, 1989 in what is now Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's a simulator-based ride that George Lucas helped oversee, and it uses the Force.
in 1989, and it's and it was in what park, and now is where?
In Hollywood Studios, where it used to be MGM.
Right, right. So I did go to MGM. And wait, and what's the next question?
So it's a simulator. You know what a simulator is?
Like you go in and you're like in this world, in like a simulation world.
You're sitting there and you're looking at a screen and it feels like you're there.
Yeah, is it like a Hollywood, like where they go through the movies or no? Okay.
Not that one. Do you know George Lucas?
Well, yeah, of course.
What did he do?
Star Wars.
Yes.
Is it a Star Wars theme?
It's Star Tours.
Star Tours? Oh, I guess we didn't do that as kids. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes, Star Tours. It's still there. It's a wonderful ride. You have to go on it.
Okay. I have to go.
Okay. We're all learning. Okay. Number six. Merlin, Madam Mim, and Arthur all appear in this Disney animated classic, which was released on Christmas 1963.
1963. Disney classic.
An animated film.
Animated film.
With Merlin.
No, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to say, is it Fantasia?
Not Fantasia.
Ah, and it's old. Old Disney.
It's that kind of sweet spot of Disney where it's like not the golden age and not the Renaissance.
Yeah, it's like right in the, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. Arthur will grow up and star in a...
Oh! Okay, so it's the Sword in the Stone.
That's right. Sword in the Stone.
Because when you said Merlin, I was like, Camelot. Like, that was the first thing I thought. But then I was like, but Camelot isn't Disney. You
know, so. All in the same world. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this one, I'm not sure if you've been on this one, but I'll try and help you out. One of the newest e-ticket attractions in the parks, also based on the Star Wars universe, this 18-minute attraction opened in Walt Disney World on December 5th, 2019. It's very new.
And it's Star Wars universe?
Yes.
I wouldn't know. Tell me.
It's Rise of the Resistance. It's the newest and it's
amazing. Whoa. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I haven't been back to Disney since.
A few more for Once Upon a Disney December. In Saving Mr. Banks... A film released on December 19th, 2018, audiences were treated to seeing Disneyland in the early 60s with Tom Hanks playing this very special person. Who did Tom Hanks play?
Oh, Walt Disney.
Yes, Walt Disney.
Obviously. And that was so good. Did you see that movie?
I loved it. Yeah.
I cried. I loved that movie so much. So good.
Two more. Anika Noni Rose won a Tony Award for her performance in Carolina Change in 2004, and in 2009 gave voice to the lead in this Disney animated film released on December 11th nationwide.
The Princess and the Frog.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Okay, final one for Once Upon a Disney December.
Okay.
On Christmas 2020, this jazzy film from Disney and Pixar was released on Disney Plus, with Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey giving voice to the leads. I don't know if you saw it.
Maybe I didn't see it. What is it?
Soul.
Oh my God, Jamie Foxx was the voice?
Yeah, did you see it?
Of course, I loved it. Who did Tina Fey play?
The little bouncy thing.
Oh my gosh, that was Tina Fey?
Yeah.
Ugh, that movie is so good. I loved Soul. That might be, this is so hard because there's so many good ones. I loved that movie. I also loved, you know what's similar to that is the one about the feelings?
Inside Out?
Inside Out. Is that Disney too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Inside Out is another one. I actually talk about Inside Out a lot when I teach acting. Because it's like all these little internal feelings, you know, that you're having.
Again, yeah. It's that musical theater Disney overlap. It's all there.
Well, sometimes when you perform, it's like you're feeling two emotions at once because humans feel two emotions at once.
Yes, we do. Well, Christy, thank you for playing Once Upon a Disney December. This was delightful to learn about all these magical Disney December events.
That was a really great question there. Thank you. That was really great.
Now let's hear from some of you, huh?
Christy, we put it on our Instagram, Disney questions for you. Your fans are very excited. So let's go. Christina says, how are you? And favorite Disney snacks or treats?
Christina, I'm doing great. I hope you have a fantastic 2022. My favorite snack and treat was the Goofy. The Goofy gummy. But you know what I've never had, which I really want to try, and I think would be my favorite, would be the Dole Whip. Because people have explained it to me, and that sounds amazing. And I need to go back just for that.
We'll get you a Dole Whip.
Thank you.
Thomas would like to know, who is your favorite villain?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I guess it's Maleficent.
It's a great choice.
I guess it is. Maleficent.
Similarly, Coral says, you're incredible as a princess, but is there a particular villain or sidekick that you'd love to play?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Well, I would like to play Maleficent, but if not Maleficent, like a sidekick I would like to play. I would like to, if they were doing another Disney movie, it would be really fun to do like a fun animal or something. You know what I mean? Like, I love Flounder so like a character like a Flounder with like a fun little fishy sidekick.
That's great. Alana asks, if you could have a music box that played your favorite Disney song, what would it be?
Ooh, I think it would probably be Colors of the Wind.
Okay. It's a great choice.
I love that song.
Craig asks, how was it singing with Disney Princess the concert and bringing it to new audiences?
Oh, it was unbelievable, especially because when you grow up loving Disney so much and then getting to sing those songs that are really all about self-empowerment for women, it's just very rewarding. Disney is amazing at just creating characters that make you feel that go through, even though they're going through these fantastically magical situations, they're also rooted in reality where you can see yourself in the characters and they're very dynamic. And there's a lot of universal themes. So I guess I would say it's one of the best jobs I've ever had.
Similarly, Emily asks, what is your favorite song to perform with the Princess Party?
How dare you even ask me that? Because literally all of them. But if we were to talk like just solo, I love pretending to do the song from Tangled. I love playing that character so much. And it's just so cool. When Will My Life Begin is just one of my favorites.
Lisa Ann asks, which Disney Broadway musical would you want to be in and which character?
Disney Broadway musical. Well, if they did come out with Tangled, I would love to play that character. That would be a lot of fun.
It's on the cruise ship, so maybe.
Oh, maybe. I would love to do the cruise ship.
Anna asks, which princess do you think Anya would be best friends with?
Ooh. This is okay. There's so many, but I sort of feel like she would be friends with like, but is Pocahontas even a princess?
I think when they say Disney princess, I interpret it as a woman who is an elevated part of society, wherever they may be. Because like, right. Is Mulan a princess? No. But in her culture, I believe that she is respected, especially at the end of the film, as she's been elevated in society.
Right. Well, actually, you brought up a good one. Like, I think Mulan would be a really good choice because yeah. That same thing of like, they're a little bit tomboyish and they're not apologizing for it. They love who they are and they don't have to fit into a stereotype.
Maybe we know the answer to this. Carissa asked, if you could eat one Disney park snack for the rest of your life, what would it be?
It's that gummy. That gummy. Yes, that gummy. Somebody find that Goofy gummy for me.
They will. Amelia asks, if you could play any Disney character, what would it be? I know we mentioned Flounder, maybe Sally.
Yeah, Ariel. Yeah, there's so many good ones. Like, you literally... And I also love Hunchback so much too. We didn't really get to talk too much about Hunchback, but that is a really good movie. I would love to be the Hunchback. If I could be a man, I would love to be Hunchback.
Well, what's funny, Lauren asks, what Disney prince would you want to play if given the opportunity?
Well, if we're counting the Hunchback, I would say the Hunchback. But if we're counting
Quasimodo.
Yeah, Quasimodo, I would say. But if we're counting like actual, like was a prince, I would say the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, because he has such a transformation and he's like forced to go through this.
Literally.
Learning it. Yeah. But he's forced to go through this amazing learning experience. So I would just love to dive deep into that character.
And finally, Giovanna wonders, who is your favorite Disney character in Hercules?
Well, obviously Megara.
Shout out to Susan Egan.
Yeah, shout out to Susan Egan. Love for Susan Egan, always. I also went to go see Hercules for my birthday party, and I believe it did come out like June 23rd. It may have come out the same day of my birthday. And I remember we all went and we saw it opening night, opening day.
We're such theater people, opening night.
Opening day, yeah.
I definitely remember going to the movie theater with my friend Nick and being like, we're seeing Hercules.
Yeah. And it's very exciting for me because I'm half Greek, half Italian. So it was like, it feels like a Grecian sort of thing. So it was very cool.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Kristen, this is Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options. Let me know which one you prefer. Here we go. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Dumbo the Flying Elephant or the Teacups?
Dumbo the Flying Elephant. Teacups is dizzying, man.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Donald Duck or Goofy?
Ooh, Goofy.
Because that autograph.
That autograph. He's a part of me forever.
He's a part of me. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, It's a Small World or Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay. But even your mom, though,
I know.
Your mom would
choose. Even though I got stuck, I did enjoy that ride a lot. And I like the adventure of it.
Okay, and Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Journey to the Past or Once Upon a December?
I know your favorite is Once Upon a December.
Well,
but
I just said I liked it.
It's like asking me two of my favorite babies. Like, it's like, which child do you like better? It's Sophie's Choice. There's no way. I can't.
You're like, if I can learn to do it.
Can we put another one in there?
Chrissy, if you could describe the feelings you feel when you look down Main Street and see the castle, what would you say?
Magical. I'm sure everyone says that, but it is.
Looking down those old buildings on Main Street that were old because they look old.
Yes, they look old, but not old like dirty old.
No,
old,
no, no.
Like old time.
Historic.
I always remember as a kid loving anything that looked like it came way before me. Did you ever feel like that as
a
kid? There's something just magical about something that didn't come from your time, because once again, you could play pretend and pretend like you're from a completely different era. So I think that's the allure of the way that whole thing is designed.
Christy, what's the first thing you're going to do the next time you go to a Disney park?
Oh, I'm going to get a Dole Whip.
Yes. There's a lot. We got to get you a Dole Whip. We got to get you on Star Tours and Rise of the Resistance.
I know. There's a lot. I'm definitely due for a trip, for sure.
Chrissy, thank you for joining me on E-Ticket to Broadway, for sharing your love of Nightmare Before Christmas, Peter Pan's Flight, that goofy gummy sandwich, going to Walt Disney World as a kid, your Disney birthdays. This has been so delightful chatting with you about all things Disney.
It's been even more delightful getting to chat with you. Thank you so much for this podcast. This is what everybody needs right now.
I agree. So, Chrissy, we will see you at the parks.
Yes, see you at the park.
It was a fun interview.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.